radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 23. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. He's carried away to Babylon. He's hanging in the stocks in Babylon. He says, God, I'm sorry. God said, what? What? He said, I'm sorry. And God got him released. God got him restored. He tried to pull it back, but it was too late. A lot of bad things were done. But God heard him the moment he called. You can push the envelope. You have no guarantee you will be able to, at the end of your tour, pull it back. But if you're God's child, even if you are disrespected and lost your name, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Even if you've lost your name, God will still be there for you. Remember David? He messed up. He had a bad splotch on his name, but God was still there for him when it came down to it. The Bible says that the Lord showed up while he was in his fiery furnace, as it were. Verse 12, it says, but when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Verse 13 says there were 40 of them that entered into this conspiracy. And I think this is the most powerful part of what I said out of Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 14. It says, and they came to the chief priests and the elders and says, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. You hear that? They're at the chief priest's office. They got all the elders in. They said, we're going to kill that guy. And we need you to help us. I looked at the place of righteousness and iniquity was there. Religion has been a great blight on the face of the earth. Not Christianity, religion. It was the religious crowd who killed Jesus or called for his murder. The religious crowd. But not all Israel was implicated, just the leadership. Pilate doesn't get off with a basin of water. He was there too, the Romans. The Jewish leadership, those who should have opened the gates and said, come on in, the Messiah is here, put him to death. And as a result of that, we find that there were many people who would come to the Lord in 50 days later because they realized how far things got out of control. Do you realize that if you keep pushing the envelope, things can get so out of control you'll think there's no way to pull it back? And that's when the devil folds in on you and makes you think you can't get saved. You think you can't? Can I tell you, if you're still living, Jesus saves. He can save you. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. But I know Jesus loves. And as long as he's given you life and breath, he can save you. There are people who are dogs. There are people who are brute beasts. But do not buy that lie, because the more you buy that lie, it becomes a callous. And I say to you that this conspiracy was afoot, and they were supposed to get the chief captain in verse 15 to bring him down at a certain hour tomorrow, and while we're lying in wait, we'll jump out and take him out for you. But providence, verse 16, Paul's sister's son, that's his nephew, heard of the lying in wait. You might underline the lying in wait. This is lying in wait to kill. He went and told Paul, and Paul said, to two centurions. The centurions are also a providence of God. The nephew's a providence. The centurions are a providence. Verse 19, the chief captain's a providence. Tell the chief captain, this boy has something to tell him. They tell the chief captain. The chief captain takes him away in verse 19 privately, and he tells him the story. And the nephew pushes it further in verse 21. Don't yield to them. Why? Because there's more than 40 of them. And they're looking to kill him. In verse 21. He's telling them, but he's also passionate about it. He says, this is wrong. You ever feel like, man, this is just wrong? In the government? Or in ecclesiastical service? This is just wrong. And that's what he feels. Verse 23 says, and he called unto him two other centurions. Now, centurion, century, right? Cent, 100. Two men over 100 men each. So look what he does. Verse 23, he calls two centurions. And he said, make ready 200 soldiers. What provision did God give? 200 soldiers. Do you know when Elijah was sitting there and his servant was worried to death about what was going to happen? Up, man, the army's coming just for us, two little measly guys. He said, what are we going to do? You can see him. He's like, ERO, we're going to die. This guy is, well, he's running a little chicken, a little. He's, we're going to die. Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And when his eyes were open, he saw on the hillside chariots of fire all around. Nobody could touch him. Elijah wasn't worried. You know God's our rear guard? It's the title of the message, isn't it? He's our rear guard. He's got our back. He's got our back. And you need to recognize that because God is a mighty man of war. He's the captain of the Lord's hosts. He's coming riding on a white horse and he's going to slay the masses in the valley of Armageddon just with the word of his own mouth. He not only did he have that, but the Bible says, provide them beasts, verse 24. You see that? Provision, providence. God's provided all this stuff for Paul's protection. And they were to send him to the governor Felix. And so this captain writes a letter. And what has happened is not only does this providence provide him with protection, but also the Bible says in verse 27 that this man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. He's talking about the mob. They were kicking him. They were beating him. And they pulled him out. So the Jews are implicated here. Who's the worst? These people are kicking him. He couldn't figure out what they accused him of in verse 28. So he took him to a council to find out. In verse 30 it says, and when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent him straight away to you. So you got the Jews trying to kill him in a mob, and you got the council, the highest pinnacles of righteousness, allegedly, in a society, and they were trying to lie in wait and kill him. Do you know what that is? That is busting out the evil. That is draining the swamp in one sense. That is opening the door and turning on the lights. And so when Felix reads this, his curiosity has got to be piqued. What is this guy all about? And he doesn't know. And the Bible says that not only were they giving him all these people to bring him along his way, but they also provided a couple beasts to carry him. So Paul got to ride in comfort because there were foot soldiers and then there were horsemen. And now Paul gets to ride. I like that. And if you were in Israel, you'd know there's a lot of ups and downs in the hills out there. And the Bible says in verse 31, the soldiers, as it was commanded them, brought Paul to Antipatris. It's a little town around Caesarea. Gets to Caesarea in verse 33, and this epistle was presented to the governor, and so was Paul. All this is providential care. And I want you to see how it unfolds toward the end. When the governor had read the letter, verse 34, he asked of what province he was, and he understood he was of Cilicia. So now he's determined he is, in fact, a Roman, because he was born Damascus, Roman citizen. He's from Cilicia area. This is all his review of the case. And the Bible says in verse 35, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Paul actually had quite a nice little place to stay because this is actually Herod's palace. He is determined to be a Roman provision. And he is determined to have been mishandled by everybody who saw him. So for some reason, Felix, who knows what Paul looked like, maybe his age, maybe his eyes, maybe his demeanor, and maybe just as Ananias hated on Paul because he used him as a witness, maybe Felix had a problem with Ananias. And so, the enemy of my enemy is kind of my friend, you know? People know in the upper echelons how bad each other are. Do you know the whole government in this country knew how bad many of the politicians to the right and the left are? Probably why they're all in complicity with one another to protect each other. Name whoever you want to put in there. There's all kinds of them. There's no lack of bad politicians. But they know each other. And if they get a chance to throw each other under the bus without exposing themselves to too much problem, just say it. conspiracy was mentioned in the passage. It's not something that is not present in our day. And I want you to understand something. He puts him in, literally, Herod's palace. Vincent says it this way, it thus appears that Paul was leniently dealt with and not cast into the common prison. We will find at the end of this book that he will be in a prison in Rome in which he has the leave to receive visitors. He's in a kind of an accommodated situation. He's under bonds, but he can come and go a little bit. He can go out and so forth. Now, conclude. Let me tell you this. When you read this, know this. First of all, as Paul was assaulted, you're going to be assaulted. The world, the flesh, and the devil hate you. It's against you. It's going to mess with you. And if it can, it will devour you. But as we saw last time we were together in chapter 22, the chief captain was afraid because he almost scourged Paul, and he was afraid because lawfully he didn't even have the right to bind him. The devil cannot touch us if we will keep ourselves. That's what it says in 1 John in chapter 5. It says the wicked one can't touch us because he that is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches us not. And the word touches means he can't kindle on us. He can't, like a fire. It's like kindling a fire. And once a fire starts, you know, it's there. You know, you're going like this and it's hanging on. He can't hang on. Okay? So you can walk free at any given moment if you've gone through some hard times. Believer, you need to know this because this is what the Word of God says. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that right? God is for us, beloved. It says in chapter 4, verse 4 of 1 John, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's the false teachers and the wicked one and all the evil. You've overcome them. For greater is he that is in you, than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, and all power is given unto me. And he says, go ye and be witnesses. He says, all power is given unto him. He says in the first chapter of Acts, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Power. Jesus has got power. You've got power. The devil can't touch you. The world can't beat you. But we can defeat ourselves sometimes. I want you to know the truth these passages bring to us because God wants you to know them. He wants you to know if you find yourself like Manasseh at the latter part of your life and you're strung up on a wall that you can call to God and He will save you. He will save you. I will close with this reminder of the man who was in a Vietnam firestorm. He was wounded. Everybody was pulling back. It was a bad situation. When a handful of them got back in their platoon to their sergeant, they said, Sergeant, where's Smitty? And they realized he was just over a hillside where it was exposed, but he was in a little, a little bit of a gully there where he wasn't being shot at, but he had been hit. And they said, we got to go get Smitty. And he said, no. He said, I can't order you to do that. He said, but it's Smitty. We got to go get Smitty. Well, I can't order you, but I won't tell you not to. And those guys broke back over the hill, exposed themselves to all kinds of enemy fire. And when he got down there in the gully with them, there was Smitty with tears saying, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. Jesus always shows up when we are His children. And you need to know that. He never will leave us. He never will forsake us. And He is for us. You've got to rest in that. Because it's a long way from here to home if the Lord tarries. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming, and we'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.